episode 3, part 2, we will be naming it episode 4.
So you don't get confused. Yeah.
We get confused easily, so don't be offended if we think you will. I'm just not very clever sometimes, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
In this part of the episode, we'll be doing a mass Tosimo discussion, which we don't really see any details in case you haven't gotten there yet, but please email us, tweet your Tosimo usernames, we'll happily add you, because we mention our usernames later in the show.
Okay, so the next discussion we have today is Izzy's opinion on last week's, or last episode's, discussions, especially swearing in teen books, because I know you had an opinion on this.
Okay, swearing in teen books. Now, people say that the authors make characters swear because it gives the character an individual sort of voice, but is it really necessary? To be fair though, when you are writing about a teenage character, they probably are going to swear a little bit because some teenagers do. But is it overdone?
Yeah, they're the main 2 points we were talking about last episode. You were saying, like, my opinion is that it can be overdone and we don't necessarily always need it. Abby's opinion was that it sometimes brought character to them, because she reads a lot of books with multi narrated characters.
Yeah, about character. It's all about giving your character its own voice. And I think a good way to test if one of your original characters has its own voice, random little writing tip here, imagine that all of your characters are at the scene of a crime and they watch, like, an old lady be robbed or something. And then the policeman comes over and asks what they saw. Now, all of your characters have to tell the exact same story, but does it sound different? If it sounds exactly the same, your characters probably don't have much personality, but if you can tell who it is just by how they've told it, kind of like the individual voice they have, then your character probably has quite a good personality which comes across in your writing.
Yeah, that's basically what we were talking about. And how, like, everything impacts on how, like, whether you overdo it or whether you're just having the two different narrators. I mean, even two narrators, you need to have a distinct separation.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay, I think that's enough. So should we move on?
Yep. So we're coming to our main discussion of this episode, and that is backstories.
On Pottermore!
Yeah.
Basically. A Pottermore discussion! You haven't at all heard this before on anywhere else!
Okay.
We just wanted to leap on the bandwagon and carry on with it. Now, Izzy, have you made a Pottermore account yet?
Okay, this is what happened. When Pottermore was in beta, my friend got on the beta and I sadly missed it. So I stole her account for a little bit and I had a play about, and some of it was quite buggy, but it was lots of fun. Pottermore was good. I've made an account, but I am in need of a new desktop. My laptop's kind of had it, so every time I try to load Pottermore, it gives up and dies on me, and just, it literally catches fire, and everything goes downhill from there.
So, I've got a few of the things favorited, like, on my Pottermore account. So, if I go log on to Pottermore and get them up, we can talk about them.
Yeah?
I love Pottermore. I have three, like, two favorite topics from Pottermore at the moment, or possibly three.
Get your own one. That was one of my favourite chapters, finding out all about the one word, the cause.
The most exciting chapter for most people was the sorting ceremony, aka getting your house. And I personally am Ravenclaw, which I was very
managed to get onto it yet. But basically what you're saying is, it's an interactive story.
I'm in Slytherin, as you will have gathered earlier. I love being in Slytherin.
Because two of my yeah, in parts of it at least. I think one thing that all of us would like more is if it was more interactive, because certain parts can be very boring if they haven't got much content or if they haven't got anything going on. And just having interaction with the animation would be good.
Yeah.
A few of the early ones, like the Hut on the Rock, and
that was a bit boring because you pick up
some of them. You pick up things, but the there's house nothing. Points. Like, you pick up things in the realm, like a stick, or a cup, or a candle.
The problem is, what some of us are finding, those of us who have been in it since, I think, September is when it first opened.
I think it was the summer, wasn't it?
I can't remember if it was end of August, September time. I think it was September when I got my letter. But those of us who have been on it since then are a bit bored, because
there's no going back. Can't go back and really enjoy it unless you're really into it.
There is nothing else you can do because Chamber of Secrets hasn't opened yet.
And even all the, like, collecting and potion brewing and spells... Well, even that doesn't really work that well.
That sounds rather...
Potions is stupid. I hate potions. It annoys me.
Because you just... Basically, you have to put all these ingredients into the cauldron and then wait for, like, sometimes an hour.
Is it rewarding, though?
And then you go back and add more things. And if you mark up on that bit, then you're screwed.
I hate that bit.
They take away house points.
If you melt your cauldron. But I've never melted mine.
And then, if you win, you get a house point.
You get a certain amount of house points for different potions.
And it's just very tedious.
Fueling is very fun. I love dueling, but
none of my friends are actually online when I want to duel with them.
The problem with dueling is it wasn't open until, something like January, February.
What's your nickname?
Echo Katrina's 132.
If anybody who wants to know, I am Mira Silver, 8444. Basically, we find a lot about Minerva McGonagall in this book. I'll read out the fact file if you want, and then we can talk about the bits you discover in each of the chapters.
Okay.
So her birthday is the 4th of October. I always knew she was October, because that's my month birth. And it's pretty cool. Her wand is fur with dragon heartstring, 9.5 inches stiff. Hogwarts house.
Yeah, dear.
It's a bit strange. Hogwarts house, Gryffindor. Special abilities, Animagus. Distinctly marked silver tabby cat. Parentage, Muggle father, Witch mother.
I thought it was really interesting that she was a mudblood. Sorry.
Family, husband, Elphinstone.
She likes Quidditch, so basically she's the equivalent of a football fan.
Hobbies, needlework, correcting articles in consideration today, watching Quidditch, supporting the Montrose Magpies. And so... Yeah. Okay, so I'll...
Don't read out the childhood bit, because
I'm not
going to
read
it
all out.
People who want to discover it for themselves, they haven't had a chance
yet. If we just read them the title, so that they know what they what you discover. You discover about her childhood, like, how she grew up. About, like, the whole relationship between her mother and father. And how that impacted on the rest of her life. It talks about her school career. Can I talk about one thing?
Yes.
Well, two things. Okay. And it said she was a hat stall.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you found out about this, but she and Professor Flitwick were both hat stalls between Ravenclaw and Gryffindor. And... It says, in later years, the circumstance was a subject of gentle humour between Minerva and her colleague, Phileas Flitwick, over whom the sorting cat suffered the same confusion, but reached the opposite conclusion. The two heads of house were amused to think that they might, but for those crucial moments in their youths, exchange positions. Mm-hmm. Because they were both either going to be in Ravenclaw or Gryffindor.
What house do you think I should go in then?
Which I find really interesting. The whole idea of hat stall. Which has been talked about, I know, in many podcasts.
An evil hoe bag,
yeah,
including Slytherin.
I don't know.
You could join me in Slytherin.
Or Ravenclaw, I don't know. You've got elements of both.
Hey, shut up! I'm in Slytherin!
No, but I have two friends in Slytherin. But the elements of Slytherin are loyalty.
Ambition.
Loyalty and ambition, which...
And cunning, which are all not necessarily bad qualities.
It's just, and also, did you know that Merlin was a Slytherin?
Yeah!
Merlin!
I love it.
Yes, and so I'll go on to the next one.
I hope Ellie
also
MuggleNet is very pleased with me at the moment.
And then...
Remember the Slytherins. Okay. That is her fanfic, by the way. Check that out. It's amazing.
Okay. It also talks about how Professor McGonagall, as a teenager, she was a gifted Quidditch player, but a nasty fall in her final year, a foul during a Gryffindor versus Slytherin game, which would decide the cup winner, left her with concussion, several broken ribs, and a lifelong desire to see Slytherin crushed on the Quidditch pitch. So that's why she always wanted Harry to win against Slytherin. That's why there was the whole... competitive nature.
Maybe we should leave it for the listeners to find all this out for themselves.
I know, it's so cool.
We don't really want to read all this out.
Then another, there are some sections like early heartbreak and... Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to talk any details here. I'm just going to say the headings. And ministry career, because she did work at the ministry for a short time. Friendship with Albus Dumbledore, you get a little bit more detail in this, but nothing we didn't really already know. And then a section on her marriage, which is incredibly insightful. Mm. And it makes you feel like you know her even better. And it also clears a lot of things up.
Well, no,
you know why she
I
did certain
really
things,
or
that sort
of thing.
Yeah? Anything you'd like to add? Izzy? Anything you'd like to add? Okay, so there are two other things that I really liked.
I think the wands was just
the wands are really amazing. The wands and the whole element behind, because you have to do this quiz, of which all the questions are very vague, and
yeah,
you wouldn't imagine how they would allure to your wand core. Because I just find it so interesting how J.K. Rowling got them absolutely right.
Well, yeah,
I haven't met a single person who hasn't said their wand type was amazingly correct.
Well, yeah, what a lot of us found is that reading over the description of the wands and everything, I'm like, oh my god, that is totally me. It's like,
or even if you didn't initially say that, people eventually go, actually, this is actually looking back and reflecting on it.
Really annoyed us in the Slytherin common room when it first opened to the public. There are so many people going, oh, I don't want to be in Slytherin.
Apart from the fact that everybody is better than
her. Get out of our common room if you don't want to be here. Because we really don't like people saying
that
one house is better than the other, because none of it's true. That we can do as good as each other. No, because they ain't saying you're better than J.K. Rowling.
Now, this Pottermore is
J.K.
a
Rowling
game
is a Hufflepuff, so
such.
I wouldn't say that you're better
and
than.
And I'm a big gamer, I'm a big fan of
It'd
games,
be interesting
so
when Izzy eventually gets round to doing Pottermore. To see what she is, what type she is.
Actually, looking at the next topics, I'm not sure we should move on. We've got same-sex parenting, one true pairing. How much description do you really need? Stereotypes. I'm not sure we should...
These are all Abby's topics that she wanted to do.
Yeah. Right.
It's really weird, we haven't actually gotten to 2 hours yet.
No. Alright, same-sex parents.
This is Abby's forte, so I'll let her talk.
Okay, I'll talk. In the fanfiction world, well, my fanfiction world, Harry Potter, my forums that I go on, this is very... popular topic that people like to discuss. Some authors definitely shy away from the fact that they shy away from writing a gay couple because they think it will be too controversial.
But then equally, don't some people feel uncomfortable reading it? Not just
it
writing
it.
I mean, I personally don't.
Some people may be uncomfortable writing it, but that's sort of like understandable if they've got a decent justification, not just it's a cinema.
Yeah,
this
it's
is like
on
think,
Glee. Can I just mention?
Yeah,
like on Glee when you have the plain first kiss.
Yeah,
I found it very awkward to watch, and I didn't really want to watch because it made me feel kind of uncomfortable. And I know that some people love their first kiss, and it's just kind of them experiencing the first thing. You know, it was just awkward for me to watch, and I just felt uncomfortable watching it. And I can understand some authors being uncomfortable writing that sort of thing. Some authors are obviously very comfortable. Like
yeah.
The authors, like the screenwriters of Glee, would be very comfortable
yeah.
doing that because of the amount of storyline they give them. But I personally wouldn't want to write about it. It would just make me myself feel uncomfortable.
I think though, because you will always have people who feel uncomfortable reading it. I think that if it's a very prominent part of the storyline, maybe I don't know. Maybe just some sort
it
of note saying that it will be in the book. not a warning as such, because I don't think that's right either. No. That's saying it's
a wrong thing.
Yeah.
But just something to
it. Yeah, just something.
It's just like, it's kind of a warning. But like when people put, there's a bit of violence in here, there's a bit of swearing.
Yeah.
It's not to deter people. It's no. To say, just if you're giving this to a 5-year-old, be aware.
Yeah. It's like, on forums, one of the groups that I'm part of, we look at different fan fictions and we discuss them. And one of our topics was controversial fics. And obviously because it's, some of the stuff in there can be very sensitive topics. But it said, you can put a same-sex pairing down as one of them, but it has to be very well justified for it to be actually accepted.
Personally, I think that same-sex pairing is a controversial fic just because if one it's of part the of the plot, gay. Not just for the
because
sake
that
of it.
Isn't
I'm
fair.
Probably going to get a lot of hate for that, because people are like, oh, you know, you're really accepting of this stuff. And I am, but I think because it disturbs, it's the wrong word, because it makes quite a lot of people feel awkward, I think it should only be included in books if it's part of the plot and actually necessary, rather than just for the sake of it. Yeah, yeah.
I think they should aid the plot rather than be the plot.
Yeah.
And if they're going to be the plot, it should be very well written. Because some books can be very cheap when they talk
about marriage or relationships.
And they can be very awkwardly written.
You don't normally find many same-sex pairing in young adult books. I was quite surprised when I found it in Ash. So most of my knowledge comes from fan fiction. And what I've heard other people... I wouldn't read it when I first joined. I was 12, 13 when I first joined. And I always steered clear of it. They do have notices on there saying it is the same-sex pairing, but then, at the beginning of this year, I read my first one, and because it was so well written, I started to read more of them kind of thing, and I think there are some amazing writers where I go, and they are just truly outstanding fics that they write, and I think they're very sensitive when they're writing about these couples, and they look at their feelings, kind of thing.
Parents and same-sex couples.
Much likely, they look at how what people say have the effect on them and everything,
and how the individual people are affected. Yeah, by it. Like Kurt's opinion.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that book. That was ever so clever. I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
I've got a copy.
That was that contained.
I'm going to be reading it very soon.
It was very well executed, wasn't
it?
It didn't make me feel I didn't feel uncomfortable or anything at all. It was just so well written. I loved that book. That was great.
No, that was so subtle. For those of you who don't know, it's What's Up with Jodie Barton by Hayley Long.
Yeah, we have spoken about it in episode 1, I believe it was.
One of the earlier.
Now, this is the topic for fangirls.
Yeah. Makes it sound like we've had, 20 episodes, yeah?
No.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
okay.
It is.
One True Parent is our next discussion.
Which is also Abby's forte, so I'll
Okay. So, not... kinda. Okay,
or an anime fan. That's why you get.
But
the
I think everyone has at least one
One
True
Pairing
from a series,
anime,
whether it's
it?
A Potterhead, a Twihard, a Tribute, and any other fandom. Yeah, yeah. My Harry Potter one, Lily and James, or Teddy and Victoire, which are Next Generation characters. I haven't actually got any from the trio era. I'm not really fussed by them characters.
It is One True Pairing. Is that just a couple who you think are meant to be together?
Yeah.
I think, because Ron and Hermione, there is a lot of characters, when they're like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing, they go straight from being not knowing each other to go to boyfriend-girlfriend.
Yeah.
What I like about the Ron and Hermione relationship is that they were friends
for
such a long time before they became boyfriend and girlfriend, and then eventually got married.
Yeah.
Which means that they know each other so much better, and therefore they could be soulmates, but they would get to know each other for long without just going, oh, he's my soulmate, I'm going to marry him.
Yeah, they annoy me.
And what I like is that she knows that she likes him, but she doesn't say anything. She doesn't go to him and go, "Boy, go out with me."
I think it was
she waits until he's ready.
I think it's from book 3 you see that they do like each other.
It's very subtle.
It's very subtle in book 3, but J.K. Rowling mentioned it in one of her later interviews.
And people have mentioned that at the end of book 3.
Not to talk about on this podcast, no.
It's very subtle, which is really... I like that things, like the rereadable thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see all the little signs.
What about you, Izzy? Do you have any from any series?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't ship Harry Potter characters because
But I know some people are very protective over their wanting characters. It's just the way it's meant to be. Harry's character to be with anyone else.
The other
like I know that
I wouldn't pair anyone with anyone else. And for me, Harry Potter isn't really about the romance. I care more about the story than. So if that's the reason why I don't have favourite pairings as such from Harry Potter,
I think that's. No,
that's what's good about it.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't have a OTP from the trio era.
I believe the term you're looking for is rabid fangirl.
I've heard some people being very protective and angry that their characters, there are quite a few Neville Luna shippers. And then when we found... Yeah, basically. And then when it was discovered that they both married different people.
Yeah, which I actually like.
I love that. But there were quite a few very upset fangirls. I think Hunger Games is one of the worst. Peter Gale is just like, oh, shut up.
I mean, I do admit that I never liked Gale and I would rather she went out with Peter.
Yeah.
When pushed to it, I would say Peter all the way.
But when you're talking about
I don't
love
go around
triangle,
going,
you're
oh,
going
she can't go out with Gale.
Team Edward, Team Jacob, don't stop.
And in Catching Fire, when she's kind of like, ah, Peter's not here, let's have a go with Gale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I know.
We're just saying how pathetic it can be, or can get to, when people carry on with it. After all the tension has gone.
Shouldn't
after,
there be
you know
a spoiler
what happens at the end.
On this podcast?
Yeah.
People haven't read
these. People still carry going on about it.
They're still going, but she was
you're
meant
just
to be
throwing
with Gale. She married Peter. Get over it.
It's just like, oh, shut up.
Ah.
Yeah, we may have to put a spoiler warning in there.
We're howling both.
Next topic.
Okay, back up here.
How much description do you really need? Okay. So this basically, I came up with this and I came up with one for settings as well, which we will talk about in a later episode.
What do you
it's
mean?
Just like, some books
you
get,
is this more
settings?
Like not really for characters,
like
you get lots of
kind of
description
you...
for a certain character, what their appearance is, what their personality is. But then for other characters you get nothing. Yeah, but basically all it is, it's like, Bella Swan, she hasn't really got, you haven't got much description for her, as
which
you were
is
saying
really
earlier.
Part of the appeal.
Yeah, whereas Edward Cullen, there is lots of description
because
for
it's Bella
him.
Going, oh, he's so beautiful, and then telling
us
all
the
yeah.
things about him. So, to
do you
the
need that much description,
get
or
in the story?
Would you rather
there
an author
be so much
itself,
that nothing is left up to the
but
reader.
Enough
be, there should be
to create the character
your interpretation.
For yourself.
You should be able to like picture the characters in the world in your head, and everyone's going to interpret things slightly differently, and we should be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is all we can talk about Harry Potter?
Yeah.
For instance, Harry Potter before the films.
Yeah.
What's the title of this podcast? Brainstorm Bookcast.
Just
change
saying,
it
like,
to
my
Harry
image
Potter
of mine. It just so happens that all my images of the characters corresponded with the actors, but some films, when you get them out, and what? We haven't talked about Harry Potter much in the others, so it's your influence. Anyway, with other films, you get to the film, it comes out and you go,
about the actors,
but this isn't how I thought they looked like.
I think a lot of people said that about Katniss in Hunger Games as well.
You know, as you said that, I was then Googling him. Because my first thought was, how they decided on an actor for Finnick yet?
I'm worried about who they cast for Finnick.
Yeah.
But I love Finnick. Finnick
is
amazing.
Do you have any casting preferences? Who do you want to play certain characters in the next film?
I don't know if they actually have yet, actually.
Just not him. Anybody in the world, but not him.
Apparently they're going into discussion at the moment.
Just not Robert Pattinson. I've heard people say they want Robert Pattinson. There are a lot of people saying that they want Naya Rivera to play Joanna.
Yeah,
I think it'd be quite cool. Yeah. But
for all of you who don't know, including Izzy, Naya Rivera plays Santana Ingley. But she is so kick-ass.
So,
she's
an amazing character.
You're just hating on people, but you don't like anyone.
And so that's why...
I don't really have any preferences.
What about you? Do you have any actors you want to play them?
No characters anyway, no matter who it is. But then I'm probably going to end up.
Yeah, basically.
So that's always how it is for me. At first, I'm like, no, this can't be right. This is all wrong. And then I just get used to it, and I'm like, yeah, like Doctor Who, the new Doctor. I thought he was rubbish at first. Goodness. But then I kind of got used to him. It's cool. But David Tennant will always be the best Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I wouldn't watch it. I watched the first episode and I'm like, oh my god, what have you done?
Oh,
David Tennant,
god,
come back!
Oh my god, he's a 5-year-old!
I was just like, no, David Tennant, come back!
Have the listeners
back,
vote on who does the best Dalek impression.
I'm not watching this anymore.
Through to the very end.
But
what did Dalek say? Did they just say exterminate?
Yeah, that'd be good.
I am a Dalek. Exterminate.
I think, Izzy, that would just be you.
I think we should be wrapping this up soon, so we have some time.
Basically,
for this podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I still got loads on my phone. Don't worry. Okay, right. Final topic then.
Apart from some rants that you'll get later on.
Oh yeah, we normally do that. Different characters and their ages, do they affect what you think of them? So if you've got a book where you've got multiple points of views, and one of the points of views is, say, from a young girl, the next one from a teenager, and the next one from an adult, would you be drawn to certain characters because of their age, or is it more dependent on their personality?
Izzy, any thoughts?
Okay. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think some my own age, I would relate
yeah,
to the character more because it's my age, and I'm just able to relate more.
Yeah. I've heard people saying that they want Grant Gustin and
who else? I've heard Alex Pettifer.
Oh God, no. He can't act to save his life. He ruined Iron Number
Any
4.
Any thoughts that we haven't mentioned?
I think we've covered everything. Oh, I also don't like him because of the whole Diana Agron thing, but that's another thing about that.
Okay. Izzy, any thoughts that we haven't mentioned?
Alrighty.
Okay then. So, are we just going to add something at the end? Because my blog, if you haven't checked it out, is... There's a link on my Twitter, which is at G13R. There's a link on my profile to my blog. And this summer, I should be starting some book giveaways. Because I've had lots of offers for books from lovely authors, publishers, and other bloggers. And I was going to have a little look through and get some books and do some giveaways this summer.
Yep.
So if you're interested in books, which you have to be if you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, this was a bit more fan-oriented.
Yeah.
Izzy's influence, I blame her. But anyway. But if you want to have a look at the book giveaway this summer, until I post the giveaways, there'll be some reviews, there'll be some discussions, which Abby should be starting up soon.
Yeah, I'll be starting them in summer holidays. And check out my two latest reviews. I've done Ash and Ash. They are my two reviews on there.
And Izzy's Hunger Games still attracting attention.
It's very good.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll get another review up there. We'll do some more.
Now, hopefully next episode we're going to be joined by a surprise. Ah, oh, you ruined a surprise. So we will hopefully be joined by an awesome
She's very awesome. Guest host. She's Raimi Raw on Twitter. Raimi underscore Raw and in Lion Raw.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. Her blog is very cool as well. You need to check it out. The link is again on her Twitter profile.
Oh, you wanted to do some feedback comments.
Yes. I've had some feedback recently.
Sorry, Skype is being rubbish and I can hardly hear what you're saying.
And I was very pleased. And so I thought I'd share them with you.
And I'm kind of standing in art looking at a picture of a cat in a top hat, so I'm not distracted.
Okay, I'll just read the comments. Okay. Okay, Prudence13, the Library Mouse blog.
Hey.
And she says, "Heya, I thought your podcast was quite interesting. I especially like the bit where you guys talk about 50 Shades of Grey and the Twilight series. I would have to agree there's a lot of hype about this series, but not entirely sure why. That said, I haven't read it, so I can't pass judgment either. Hearing you guys compare the books, classification, etc. was rather insightful. Look forward to the next one. From Jessica."
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
It is listening to us, which is very nice.
It just shows that we're not doing this for nothing.
Yeah.
And Abby can read the shout-outs from Twitter.
Okay, we have had a couple of shout-outs. One by Louisa Persia,
who has just written the amazing book, Kiss, Date, Love, Hate.
Okay. And she said, "Brilliant podcast by teenage girls who love to read." And then she put a link to the blog and to the podcast. And then Raimi, of course, who we always go on about.
Raimi Greenland.
Yeah. She said, "Ever fancied a listen to a YA book podcast? Brainstorm Bookcast is now up at Podomatic. Give it a listen." And our history teacher keeps saying about us year 10 girls.
She keeps retweeting.
Yeah, and neglects the fact that Izzy is in year 11.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
So, and we love to have comments. If you feel like you're sending us an email,
and feel free to follow Georgina.
No, it makes us feel sad.
Don't do so.
Well, it's at brainstormbookcast@gmail.com. Just all lowercase. No full stops or anything awkward.
I'm considering about the timing of your following.
That's it.
So, are we wrapping up this podcast now? Is this the end? Hopeful face? Love you all.
Oh, you're
lucky
you weren't on last episode then. I was a nightmare.
Yes.
So we've had Dalek impressions, Pigeon impressions.
That's Adam and Big Pigeon.
Pigeons are trying to take over the world. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. And we will see you all in a couple of weeks.
Hopefully, not next week, the week after.
Yeah.
Where we'll be recording with Rainy Raw.
Yeah.
As long as exams permit.
Yeah, we've got no more exams.
Woo! And all summer we'll be podcasting because there are no exams, no school, no homework.
Oh yeah, we'll be podcasting like mad throughout the holidays, posting discussions, reviews.
Guys, waffling, stop.
Shut up.
Has it not nearly been 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Then we have gone about half an hour over the time limit. Perhaps we should actually end this.
It's called editing. Anyway.
So that's about it for this episode.